Well, hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to In the Dark, or welcome to In the Dark if you're a first-time listener. I am sitting here in the kitchen right now. I got up a little bit ago and had some hot tea and put some David Pilates on. He has a new episode today. He's doing a thing on the amnesia cases, missing people's minds just kind of going blank on them. And I'm watching the beautiful snow falling outside again. Stuck up here. I live in a an area where it's so odd. It's like we live in town, on the outskirts of town, I would say. And the front of our house is kind of like country-ish, but it's like up on a hill, and it's turns into like the whole place just turns into a toboggan run during the winter, and it's really, really hard to be up here and think you're going to go anywhere once it starts snowing. And then the back of the house, which is typically what we use in the winter, it feels a little safer because if you come off out of the front, it feels like you're going to go right into this main country road that runs through. But the back is it's literally a toboggan run. Like you have to have some serious driving skills and four-wheel drive. And sometimes even the four-wheel drive's a little bit iffy. Last year, my ex, Matt, he had his truck up here, and the neighbor had come over, and she said that his truck had actually like glided out of the parking spot, and it was blocking the back path. It's almost like a dirt road back there that comes up onto like the mountain, and it I guess his car just decided it didn't want to be in the spot. I don't know. It was crazy because we've been here maybe 11 years now, and we've never had that happen. So excuse me. We've had a lot of funny stories up here, though. I can tell you it's quite an adventure, but it turns into a real winter wonderland up here. And it's really amazing in a lot of ways. I really love it. But in a lot of, like, you get a little worried if you have an emergency or you need to go somewhere. You can't get out. I mean, you have to kind of plan ahead that basically, I would say, between the middle of January to the middle of February, at least, maybe 4 to 6 weeks out of the winter, you're pretty much in. I mean, it's not something that, you can get out if you need to, but it isn't the safest thing to do. So I was just thinking, as I was getting up this morning and I was looking at the snow and, the daylight was starting to break through, I was really thinking about really how blessed I am and how grateful I am that I had chosen the kind of jobs and the things that I've done, to earn money and make a living that, I don't really have to go out in the winter. Like I can just take the entire winter off and relax and, deal with the holiday stuff and the sickness stuff that hits and, all the weather crap that goes on and, even enjoy the beautiful weather. The snow is beautiful. I always love it. And, I just think I'm so fond of the snow, but at the same time, I know that a lot of people die. There's a lot of accidents and people lose their lives. And, so every time I see the snow, I just I light up and I think how beautiful. And then the realistic side of me sets in and thinks, I start praying for the people on the roads. And it's especially for my family. I really always pray for them, for their safety and everything's okay, because I just get scared. But it's beautiful up here and the snow's coming down like crazy. So haven't been on in a while and have been meaning to do some podcasts, and I even had some started, and I've got some other ones that I haven't put out yet that I had done, and I don't know, they just weren't quite up to par for what I wanted to do, and then I would get interrupted, and then I would get, I would put it off, and so it's been really busy around here. As you guys know, I've been going through ending a relationship with my significant other. I've been with for 26 years now, and raised a family together, and he got into some addiction issues, and during Christmas time, some stuff happened, and he was pretty much forced to go into rehab, and he's there now, and hopefully he's doing very well, and I'm very much praying for him and hoping, you know, good things come to him, but I've reached the end of my rope with it, and I feel that it's just at a point of no return. So I am just going to, you know, pray for him and hope that his journey through life is really good. And I'm really ready for this. I'm very, very ready for it. He, you know, the classic narcissistic abuse that people go through, and I know that word is used very often, but there are true examples of narcissism, and I have lived it for 26 years now. So it's been interesting. I've even thought about doing a podcast on narcissism and the effects of it, but there's quite a few podcasts already on it. I don't really want to keep repeating the same things everybody repeats all the time, but you know, it's just something that happens with all of us at a time or two in life. We go through something hard, and this is my journey with something hard. So, but I'm ready. I'm really ready. I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling positive about this. I'm hoping that my health improves from it. I'm hoping that my mental state improves from it, you know, maybe look a little younger and feel a little younger and all that good stuff. And just, you know, hoping for the best for everybody. And I guess now the big thing, the challenge will be basically who gets the house. So I, you know, I'll have to see what happens with that. And so that happened, and then I gained one of my, so I got rid of one, and then my oldest son moved home, and he is also an addict, so I got rid of one, and I gained another. So that was fun, and so I've been very much praying for my family. So any of you prayer warriors out there listening, people that are close to the Lord that pray, please, you know, pray for me and pray for my family and my sons. I have two of them, that my two older sons that are really struggling with addiction right now. And I'm really praying that they get into rehab and get some help. So it's been a really very stressful, very, very, very stressful. A lot of anger surfaces when you're dealing with this stuff. You feel like you really love people. And when this kind of stuff happens and you see their really selfish ways that happens, you know, that they tend to really abuse the people around them in one way or another. And it is very hard to not be really livid and just feel almost hateful towards the people that you're dealing with this. But you have to remember, you are dealing with demons. And that is the one thing that I have got to always remember, that these are not the people that you love. These are demonic attachments that are inside of these people or around these people. They're either oppressed, possessed, attached, maybe all of them, you know, maybe a couple of them. But there is some very strong demonic influences going on here. And a lot of times, you know, when you're talking to these people and they're sounding like somebody you don't know, it's because it is not who you know. You are talking straight up to a demon. So, and we, like, I again want to, you know, make you understand that when I say demon, I don't mean, demons are technically the spirits of giants from what we've been told of the Nephilim, but we all use that term in general for the dark entities that, you know, inhabit the dark side of the veil. So when I say demon, it's just a generalized term. I don't know really, you know, every entity could be different. It could be from a different group or whatever, but it all basically amounts to the same thing. You know, it's evil, and it's from the dark half of the world, and it's very bad stuff. So just try to remember that. Be patient with people that you're dealing with, and the best weapon you have against all of this is a lot of prayer. Repent of your sin, kick the sin out of your life, even if it takes one sin at a time. Give back to God. Give back to Jesus, because he died for us. He gave his life for us. And it shows him how serious we are. It shows him that, you know, we're not just professing to be a believer or a Christian or, you know, whatever you want to call yourself, but it is extremely important that you show God that you are serious about your walk with him, that you're serious about, you know, just showing him what he means to you. And so the most important thing you can do is to repent of whatever sin or sins you are dealing with. And sometimes it might start out as something just as tiny as, you know, not swiping a pen anymore at a bank, or, you know, if you, you know, it could be anything. I mean, whatever it is, a small lie that you think in your mind is a little white lie. You know, a lie is a lie, according to God. So just, you know, work on it. This is what I did. When I started to do this, I started to work on basically one sin at a time. I kind of picked something I was doing that I was struggling with, or maybe one or two things. And I really focused on that one thing. And then I would, you know, I would kind of not master it, but I would really get to the point where I really felt like I overcame it. And so I just did this gradually. And that's the best advice I can give you, is not to overwhelm yourself and continue to pray. Prayer becomes something that, when I was younger, it used to be a burden. You know, it'd be something that you'd go to bed at night and think, oh, I forgot to pray today. I'll do it tomorrow. Or I'll spend some time with God tomorrow. And then day after day after day, you would forget. Or you would just wouldn't feel like doing it. Or you wouldn't have time. Or it just felt like it was, you know, kind of like how it feels like when you have to go to work, or when you have to do chores, or you just, you know, you felt like it was a burden. And as you grow close to God, you will find that prayer is something that you do constantly, naturally, because you develop a real relationship with God. He becomes your best friend in the entire world. You learn that you love him more than you love your own children, which I never thought was possible for me. And I got to the point where I actually felt that, and I was amazed. Prayer is something I pray all through the day, and I could be on the toilet and I talk to God. I mean, it doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, just talk to him. If you don't want to pray, then start out learning to just talk to him. Talk to him like he's in the room with you, because he is. Okay, he is there, he's listening, and he's waiting for your attention. He wants you to come to him and acknowledge him and love him and understand that he is your father. Your DNA is his DNA. That was something that happened. There was a episode I had watched on YouTube on a woman that had a near-death encounter. And she had said that as she was speaking to God, she went into the DNA part of her body, and he told her, I'm right there. I'm in what they call, and this is awful, but they call it the junk DNA. And God told this woman that that was him. That's God. That's his actual DNA. He thinks of us. He holds out his hand. He breathes us into existence. His DNA is in us. He is literally your father. He's also Jesus, you know, is his son. He died for you to remove that veil, because sin corrupted everything so much, and evil did, that God basically had given up on us and walked away. And Jesus, who was always with God, who was, he was the Word. Jesus's name in heaven, he was called the Word. He was the Word of God. That's in Genesis, that the Word was with God. That's Jesus. Jesus had a hand in creating us, and that's why he loved us and came here and died for us. He wanted us to be saved and be able to come to heaven and be with them and not just be given up on. So we have to give back, guys. Like, this is something that, you know, you can't live your life doing whatever you want to do. You can't think that, you know, once saved, always saved. That's not true. You can fall away and end up in hell. I'm sure of that. So just do your best. Be kind every day to people. That is the most important thing. I believe above anything else in our life, we are judged on our intent. Everything is about intent. It's about how we treat one another, and it's about love. That is why we are here. We are here to give love, to give service to one another, and for our intent to be pure, to be of the good side. So if you find yourself doing anything that you know, if the Lord was standing beside you, and He is, He would disapprove of, then stop doing it. That's how you know. Every action throughout your day, take the moment. Don't move quickly. That's the number one thing you have to remember in life is try to speak slower. Try to calm down. Try to move a little slower. You know, take your time with stuff when you can. I know that there are times we're in a rush, but it helps you because it helps you to learn to be patient with others. Because the person in front of you that's rushing, when they're like cutting in front of you, or, you know, people are tailgating you, and, you know, there's things that you go through, you watch people do because they're always pushing to get, you know, to get home quicker or to get out of the grocery line quicker. So they stand too close to you or start pushing their groceries on the belt, you know, too soon or whatever. Just, you know, let them go and just, you know, just try to take your time with stuff. And, you know, like many times I let somebody go ahead of me. If I'm not in a hurry, if people are taking too long, I don't feel rushed. I'm just like, hey, it's cool. You know, I know things happen, and you just gotta, you know, just take a deep breath and understand that we've all been there. We're all going to be there. And, you know, you just have to learn to, the slower you take things and the slower your expectations are, then you don't get as annoyed with people because you're not as, you know, in a rush yourself to get something done. The only thing I do have a problem with, which I always have, is when people stand too close to me when I'm in line and I'm in the store or I'm anywhere. I really don't be, and that's basically because of germs and like COVID and stuff. I really just don't like being crowded. But other than that, you know, I try to be as patient as I can with people. But just, you know, learn to make the Lord see, you know, allow your life to be the reflection of the Lord and that He's living inside of you and He's working through you, and pray about your sins that you're going through, you know, and acknowledge that, you know, yeah, we're here. We're in a sinful world. This is an evil world. We're surrounded by sin. We're surrounded by demons and the devil and dark entities and aliens and cryptids and all this crap that's going on. But sin is a choice. We choose whether we sin or not. And if we do not abide by what God wants for us, our life really turns to crap. So it's really, I mean, it might, you know, for some they would say, well, if you serve the devil, he's going to, you know, award you. Temporarily, he's going to award you, you know, but it's not going to last. And you can make a deal with him and the next day be dead. Or, you know, he tricks everybody. So just try to, you know, like I said, really live your life for the Lord and really learn to give up sin and acknowledge that you don't have to sin, that you can live a sin-free life. It is very possible. It can be done. It just takes a lot of work and a lot of practice and a lot of love for God. You have to dedicate yourself to Him. And it doesn't mean you can't be cool. It doesn't mean you can't be funny or fun, or that you're not going to slip up and swear or get angry, you know, and go a little overboard with your temper, things that, you know, that happen. But, and then you just go right back into prayer. You just say, you know, there's so many times I'm doing something and I catch myself where, especially with anger, you know, where I just get very flustered about something that's going on because everything's been in such a turmoil with my house and my home life with all this addiction issue going on in our family. We have four addicts in the family, and it's really been hard. Four main people in our family that are the men, the fathers of all the children. And it's been a real challenge to, you know, keep your cool and not lose it. And believe me, I've had times when I've lost it, and I, you know, and I'll be in the middle of, you know, just having a, you know, a moment of just, you know, rage or whatever. And I'm really working at this. I'm trying to get better at it, but I'm still having times when it's coming out. Certain things that happen, like, you know, there's just a lot of different things that addicts do that it's just, it's mind-boggling, and it's so selfish, and it's greedy, and it's, you know, narcissistic, and it's just a lot of crap, you know, a lot of emotional abuse. So I feel bad. Like, there's times when, you know, you're yelling at somebody, or you're just so angry that you just feel like you're going to stroke out. And I look to God, and I'm like, you know, right in the middle of it, right smack in the middle of sinning, I'm like, God, you know, I know I'm really messing up right now, or I know I'm really flipping out, and I'm sorry, you know, I'm like, I love you, I just, you know, forgive me, I'm just so angry. And I'll go to him, and I'll lay it out to him, and I'll be like, you know, I am just so angry right now. And I'll talk to him just like he's right there with me, just like I would talk to my father or my best friend. I am just venting to him, and he wants you to do that. He needs you to do that, and you need to do it. He wants everything. He wants all of it. He wants the good, the bad, the ugly. You know, he wants to hear everything that you're going through. You can scream at him. I've had times when I've gone off on God and I get upset with him. I just went through this last, it was a few days ago, where I just, something came on I was listening to, and, you know, I have a really strong problem with oppression of women when women do so much. And I just see red. I mean, especially, you're talking to somebody that's been basically the patriarch and the matriarch of my family my entire life. And so are my daughter-in-laws and my daughter. And it is, it's been, you know, to sit and listen to people downgrade women. Now, I know there's some bad women out there. Trust me. I know there's women that use men, and they're gold diggers, and there's all kinds of crap that goes on. But there is also, there's a lot of men that are equally as bad. And I just don't like, I really don't like to hear oppressive talk towards anybody. I don't like to hear oppression towards any race or sex or anything. I don't even like to identify somebody by the color of their skin, or, you know, they're not like, I mean, people are people. We are all brothers and sisters, and we are all made from God. And supposedly, and this is really going to go against what a lot of people as a Christian believe, but all these near-death encounters I have listened to, there's a lot of people that say they are told that they come back again, that there is a possibility, and I'm not saying I believe this totally, but there is a possibility that reincarnation could be possible. And if that's the case, then that would mean, and this would make sense to me, that men and women would have been both sexes, most likely. So we have possibly been here different times as men and women. And that sure would throw away all that oppressive talk, wouldn't it? Different nationalities, different sexes, everything. And that would make sense to me that God would do that. It does not say, there's a part in the Bible that says that one man has, he's appointed one life. And the way the Lord talks, a lot of times he talks in riddles, or he doesn't quite clarify, you know, things fully. And there's also there's so many books that have been removed from the Bible. So it's just something that, you know, I think about. I'm not saying I believe this totally. I'm saying that to me it would make sense that God would do that. Although, if that is possible, I would not want to come back here again. I can say that if I had a choice to come back as a different person, and that would, you know, really equal what the Lord does say, that you're appointed one life. So every life you're here is one life. Your memories of your past lives are erased, and each and every life that you would come back here to learn more would, you know, entail one life. So it's a possibility. It's just, like I said, the only reason I never believed this before. I really believed, you know, that we only lived one time and that was it. But these near-death encounters that I'm running into, I mean, guys, there are just thousands of people that are Christians that believed, you know, fully that you only lived one life, and they're dying and they're going to heaven and they're talking to God. And, you know, Jesus is saying, you know, do you want to see your other lives? And they're just stunned. And they're like, what do you mean? You know, and so this is happening. So it's something, you know, you have to understand that we've been lied to a lot, and there's been a lot of deception here, and we've been oppressed, and we've been all the truth about everything has been withheld from us. And so, I mean, you just, in some ways, you know, to be a Christian, you still have to kind of keep an open mind with certain things and realize that we don't know everything. Not everything about God is in the Holy Bible. Okay, that is not God's entire history. Okay, there are 66 books that we have been given, and how many were removed? I think it was like over 100 that they found, including the Book of Enoch, which they didn't want people to have at all. And that pretty much summed up all the stuff about the Nephilim and the cryptids and everything else. So you just, I mean, I think the truth is really coming out. It's being revealed to us. And it's something that, you know, as a Christian, you have to some degree, you have to kind of put all that you've learned and been taught to believe, you know, there, but have a little side pocket where you have to be a little open to accept that there could be other things that we haven't been told, other things going on, information that's been withheld. I don't even know if the Lord wants us to know, would want us to know about that anyway. So it might be something we find out when we get to heaven, if it's true. So I'm going to put a big disclaimer in there. So don't judge me. I'm just saying I'm, you know, hearing a lot of these encounters, and it's pretty wild, some of the stuff that you're hearing. Most of it pretty much follows, you know, what the Bible says about the Lord. It's pretty on point, but there's some things that are missing, I think. And I don't know. I guess we'll all see one day. So I my son moved back in. Hang on, I'm gonna get a drink of water here. My son moved back in, and he moved back in, and I think Matt ended up going to rehab and leaving the house here, and hopefully that's a permanent situation. I'm hoping that he's not, you know, I don't want him to come back. I mean, like I said, I'm good with this now. I'm really good with this. I'm just hoping that my son goes back with his family here soon, so he reunites with them and gets the help he needs. I love having my kids. I dreamed of always having my kids home with me forever, but I want them healthy and happy, and I want them with their families and their children. So he moved home, and about, I don't know how many weeks it was after Cody moved back in, maybe 2-3 weeks, that Matt ended up, you know, having an episode and ending up in rehab. And I would say the first few days Cody was here, I was standing in my kitchen and I just, you know, doing some stuff, and I was at the kitchen sink doing some dishes, and I have this music box that sits above, I've got cupboards above my counter space, and they have a gap between the top of the cupboard and the ceiling. And so I decorate them with all these knickknacks and things that are really pretty and with lights. And I have this music box that sits up there, and it's like a little old cook stove, and it's really cute. It's a brass type looking little music box, and it hasn't been played at least since we've lived here. I mean, it's been 11 years since that's been turned and played. I would have put it up there and turned it for a moment when I first moved in. And so I'm sitting there doing dishes, and the music box starts going off, and I was stunned. I turned around, and I'm looking at this music box, and this, the little, there's a little pan on it that has a lid that kind of moves up and down. And so this thing is playing, and just out of the blue, just starts on its own. And I'm just looking at this thing like in disbelief. I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. And I walked over to it, and I just like looked up, and I'm standing there looking at this thing, and it's just playing, and I'm in shock. You know, I'm just in shock. I'm like, wow. So it stopped, and I said, just out loud, I said, you know, do that again, play it again. But it didn't. So that started this whole, just weeks of me having all these things going on here. I was sitting in my bedroom, lights keep coming on and off. I'll leave the bedroom and the light will be off, and I'll go back in a few minutes later and the light will be on, or vice versa. That's been going on for quite a while. I have a recliner out in the kitchen, excuse me, and I sit in it and I watch TV. I have a TV in the kitchen on the island on the side of it. And then I have my recliner. It's got like a sitting room area in my kitchen, and I sit in the recliner and I watch things or just relax or read or whatever. And I was sitting there, and I have another room over, where you put your coats and stuff in, and the heating duct, they're metal, and there's pieces to them, and the piece to the heating duct, the end piece that kind of caps it, fell off. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, this is getting crazy. And this happened twice, same room. And I think it actually just happened the other day again. Same, and I was in my bedroom, and it happened out by the front door. The heating duct, these are the caps, so they're not like a flimsy piece or something they don't come off that easy. I mean, you'd have to put some, not muscle, but it wouldn't be something that would just come off, you know, by a movement or the wind or anything like that. And the one outside of my bedroom door continues to come off over and over again. It's just all the time. I mean, it's like, this is crazy. But this stuff has been going on ever since, you know, I ended up having two attics in the house at the same time. And then my other son, they're all kind of best friends. So I've got my, you know, Matt, my two older sons, and then my son-in-law, and they all are literally best friends, and they all are addicts. And so they all kind of validate each other, and they're always like seeking each other out whenever they want, you know, company. And so, when Cody came, then my other son was here a lot more, and then my other son, my son-in-law, was here a lot. So all this energy in the house, you know, I don't know if it was just demonic energy that was, you know, popping off more because all this stuff was going on. And this is kind of why I'm getting into all this. You know, I didn't really want to get into all the personal stuff about my family, but I felt like it played into a lot of the stuff that's going on here. So I had to kind of explain it to you and just kind of let you know too why a lot of times I don't, I'm not podcasting as much as I would like to be, because I, you know, there's just a lot going on. So I'm just reading over my notes here. I had started to write some of these down. And then the one day Jordan came over, my son-in-law. This was wild. So Cody was here. I think Matt was gone at this point. I'm not sure. Matt might have still been here. And we have this room that's outside of our kitchen. We don't really know what name to call it yet. I was just saying the other day, I need to give this this room a name. And we call it like the laundry room area, or we did have it as the playroom. But when we had it as the playroom, my granddaughter had come out one day screaming that a little boy had appeared in the room with her. And then another incident where my other granddaughter had come out and said the same thing. So I was like, okay, that's kind of freaky. And so the one day my daughter was standing in the doorway to that room, and the doorway feels really weird. It feels really, you can tell, you can feel if you have any kind of psychic ability or empathic ability, or can, you know, detect spirits, whatever, which I have strongly, and it's so annoying. I can tell you it is annoying. I can't ever rest. I mean, I can rest, but I mean, I can't ever feel like they're not around me. So my daughter was standing in the doorway, and this little boy, she thought it was her son, Levi, and this little boy came out and he stood beside her, and she was talking to my other daughter who was sitting on the chair, and my other daughter was looking at her and she thought it was Levi, but she was looking at him and she was like, wait, Levi's not wearing that shirt. That looks different. And Tressa was holding, my other daughter was putting her hand like on his head, but it wasn't like landing. And she looked down and she sees this little boy, and then all of a sudden he just disappeared. And at the same time, my other daughter was watching this. And then Levi came out, who they thought it was, my grandson, from the whole other hallway area. He came out and they were just stunned. They were like, you got to be kidding me. So this room is really active. Like, you can just feel like it's like, ooh, it's just something in there, you know, or it feels like a portal is what it feels like. That's what it really feels like to me. So Cody was in, he went outside to smoke because I don't let smoking in my house. And he was standing, you go through that room to the back door and you go out that door. And then there's like a little area out there that I designed for people to sit and relax and enjoy nature, or to ground, or to smoke, or whatever you got to do. And then above it is like a balcony way that he goes up to the, you can use for the one bedroom that Cody has. And so he was outside smoking, but he had the door open, which I was kind of, I don't like that, because then the smoke can, you can still, it'll come in, you know, through the screen area, because the screen was the storm window was up. So it was just the screen window. So I was like yelling at him to, you know, to shut the door. But Jordan was in the room. There's a bathroom in there too. The laundry room's in there. The bathroom's in there, and the downstairs bathroom. And then there's this whole room that's really long that, you know, we use as the playroom when we can. Otherwise we just kind of junk it up and use it for storage, and a lot of totes and stuff, which I have to get out of there because I wanted to convert it back to the playroom again, because Levi keeps wanting to go back there as the playroom. And so Jordan was standing in the room and we heard something got thrown at him. It sounded like somebody like threw a metal ball or something at the wall. And I thought I was hearing things. I was like, there is, what in the world? I thought something dropped, or, you know, I didn't know what it was. And Jordan comes out of the laundry room area, and I'm sitting in the kitchen. He his face was like as white as a ghost. He's in utter shock, and this is a kid that he doesn't believe in this stuff. Like, he really doesn't give it much credence. Like, he doesn't really, you know, think much about it. He doesn't really care. And he comes out and he goes, he's like, did you just hear that? And did you see that? And I was like, I heard it, you know, what's going on? And he said, something just got thrown at me. And I was like, what? You know, what got thrown at you? He said, I don't know. He said, I can't find it. He said, I saw it whiz by me, and it kind of crashed, and it hit the wall. And then I can't see what it was. And I've got, I have this one container of pans in there. And I said, it sounded like it was like a metal, like almost like a pan being thrown at the wall, or a ball, or something that was kind of metallic or whatever. And, you know, the only thing I could think of was maybe one of the pans were thrown at him and it just landed back in the container. I mean, we don't know what it was. I mean, we can't, unless it was something of the, you know, spiritual realm. I just don't know. And Cody had come in and he's like, I heard it. He was like shocked too because he heard it as well. But it just struck me so odd because it was Jordan. It was like, you know, the one person in the family that really doesn't, you know, he kind of mocks this kind of stuff, you know. So what really started to occur to me was that, you know, you've got all these people now in this area, and thank God I'm a praying person, and so is my son Tristan, because I mean, if without our prayers, I don't think the house would be peaceful at all. And so it was shocking, and it made me realize that we were under some attack here, and you know, we are under some real demonic attack, you know, with stuff going on, I think, and things that are, and I'm not saying it's demonic. I mean, I don't know. I can't, you know, I can't say it's demonic. I mean, I just know that things are moving around. They're making a lot of noises. We're seeing, you know, we're seeing, shadow figures, stuff like that. It's been, you know, just the shadow figure thing has been really odd. I was standing in the kitchen the one day. I'm always in the kitchen. I love being in my kitchen. My kitchen's so, it's so pretty. It's got all these plants and the sitting room and the TV and the kitchen. It's just kind of an all around, you know, everything you need kind of room. The bathroom's right around the corner. I love the kitchen and my bedroom. It's my favorite. But so I was in the kitchen and I was sitting over in the recliner again, and I saw something dark. It was like this ball of shadow that moved across the living room, or I mean, I'm sorry, the kitchen floor. And it kind of like went towards me, and it kind of just stood in the doorway, like where you go out. It was right around the corner from the recliner. It's like right there. And I saw it, and it just kind of like disappeared. And I was just like watching this thing go across the floor, like this ball of gray. And then another day, I saw, I was doing dishes, and I turned around and I looked at the doorway going into the hallway towards the living room and everything else. And, there was a large shadow figure that moved down the hallway to, you know, to the doorway there. It just kind of stood there, and then it just apparated. So there's been like a lot of this stuff going on, and I feel like it's, just an uptick because of, you know, everybody that's here that's going through all this demonic oppression and attachment and possession and all the stuff that's going on with these men. I feel like it's really, you know, just really kicked up. I mean, I've always had problems with this stuff, but this is just out of control. So I struggled at first with Matt being in rehab and wondering if I should let him come back. I thought to myself, you know, it would really just be awful to have somebody do all that work on themselves and then still treat them like they're in the same place. So basically have him get out of rehab and still treat him like he's this horrible person that's still, you know, having addiction issues, although he's always going to have addiction issues. But I mean, he's, you know, like not give him any credit where credit's due that he did this work and tried to get himself better. So I was praying to God. I was like, you know, what do you want me to do with Matt? I was like, I don't know what you want me to do here with this situation. You know, am I supposed to just let him back here? Am I supposed to, you know, what I want to do is push him away and just let this be done and make it so he moves on with his life and he, you know, finds a new life and a new, you know, makes a new life for himself, you know, a new family, whatever he wants to do. And I don't want to be with Matt anymore. I'm absolutely just certain about that. I'm done with it, but we still share a house together. And I was initially, when this, you know, first happened, I was so relieved he was gone. But then in the same respect, I just was like, I don't want him back, but I feel like, okay, what does God want from me? You know, what is my role here in all this? It's really not important what I want. It's important what God wants, because he sees everything ahead of time, or he knows what's going to happen. And hang on, I got to get a cup of water or drink of water here. So, And this all happened before Christmas, too, by the way. This was 5 days before Christmas, so that was awesome. So our Christmas was a little, you know, a little weird, but it was good. It was okay. I had Cody and Tristan here with me, and that was it. We didn't really see anybody else on Christmas. It was a very quiet, low-key Christmas because pretty much, you know, they've all really just made our family life hard for all of us women in the family. So I prayed to God about this and I said, you know, what do you want me to do? And I had a dream that night. And in the dream, I've always felt like Matt was possessed with evil entities. So I felt like Matt hasn't been there for a long time. It's been something else I've been dealing with. So in this dream, I saw Matt walking towards me and I was walking towards him a little bit, but I was more standing and just, you know, I was kind of gradually walking towards him, just a little few steps. And he was walking towards me and he had this really loving face, you know, look on his face. And he looked really peaceful and serene. And he walked up to me and he hugged me like a really loving, sweet hug. And that's something that I haven't felt from Matt in a long time. Like, I haven't felt there's any genuine love there. And I felt in my soul when I was having this dream and I was watching this that I was dealing with the real Matt. That was really him. That was his soul underneath all of this. And that he's basically been invaded by demonic, you know, entities. And so I woke up and I was kind of confused. I was like, you know, I don't know what you want me to do, God. Like, I don't know, you know, with this dream, like, what does that mean? Like, does that mean that you're showing me Matt, you know, the side of him that is love and that, you know, that's what you want me to like reconnect with him? Is it just showing me, you know, a side of him that, you know, I'd forgotten about, you know, whatever. I just don't know. I don't know what the dream meant. So I've been praying about this dream, trying to get some clarification from God. And I prayed last night and I was like, you know, I need to know what you want me to do with him. Like, what, you know, you know how I feel, God, you know, Lord, you know, my feelings about this, what I want, but it's not important what I want. What's important is your will, what you see and what you feel I need to do, because I'm not here for myself. I'm here to serve others. I'm here, you know, we're here for others. We're here for each other. And it's, you know, we have jobs to do here. This is, you know, we have, you know, things we have to fulfill here. And it isn't just about our comfort levels and, you know, our own self and what we like and don't like or what we're comfortable with. This is about God and what, you know, the what we discussed with him before we came here, what we wanted to accomplish, you know, what our goals were, things that we have to learn. You know, do we have to learn more to love more? Do we have to learn to, you know, I think a lot of this trip has been with me, has been teaching me how to control my temper, you know, teaching me to love. It was really weird too, because before Matt left, there was a few weeks before he left, was the first time in a long, long time that I started handling Matt with love. He hadn't been working. He had been playing games with money. He had been withholding. When he was working, he wasn't helping with bills much. He was just doing all this stuff, using all this money for drugs and alcohol. And so I got really upset and I refused to help him in any way. I wouldn't give him even a drop of money. So then it got to the point where all his money was gone. He had quit. He had lost another job. He was basically starving. And I felt the Lord say to me, you know, yeah, you could just let him stay up there and starve and wallow in the bed he made for himself, or you can, you know, help him and be loving. So I started to be loving. I started to be, you know, very tender with him. I was, you know, like every now and then I would come out and I would, to, you know, I'd see him in the kitchen or wherever and I would just give him a quick hug, or I would, you know, make sure he had food or cook for him or give him medications or, you know, whatever. Pretty much, you know, I was trying to help him. And so when this happened, when I did this, I had been asking God for years to get rid of Matt, to get him out of my life, to get him out of the house, to remove him, to, you know, just allow my life to be peaceful. And nothing. There was nothing. He wouldn't get caught. I would try to, you know, pray about, you know, him getting a DUI to, you know, to make it so he would, you know, it would force him to get help and all this stuff. And God would not answer my prayers, would not answer my prayers, nothing. And and there were times I would have meltdowns on God. I would go off on him. I'd be like, you know, why are you not helping me? You know, what is going on? You know, why are you putting him before me? Why is, you know, he able to get away with all this stuff he's doing? And I am just suffering, and Tristan is suffering. And, you know, like Levi, I had him for school for 2 years, and I had to take him over to his mom's and give him up, you know, to her, because the house got so toxic. I mean, if you guys heard some of the recordings I have that I kept of Matt in case I needed it for court or anything, or for anything down the road, you would just be, it would blow your minds. The stuff, it sounds like you are dealing with a pure demon. And so I was just like, you know, what do you want me to do here, Lord? You know, so I would go off on God, and only, you know, on occasion I would just get angry and I would cry. I would just have these meltdowns, and I didn't understand why God wasn't doing anything. And do you know that the few weeks before Matt was taken out of this house and put into rehab, I handled him with all love, and that's when God answered my prayer. And I knew it. When this happened, I had like this download spiritually from God that this is what was needed. This was a lesson for you, Tracy. You needed to learn love and forgiveness and how to, you know, and I'm still waging a war with my temper because of my son now, some of the things he's doing. But it's more about love, and but he knows I'm working at it. I'm working with God on it every day. I work with God every day. I talk to him all the time. We discuss things. I vent. I spill my heart out to him. I pray. You know, I love him. He is my best friend in the whole world, guys. And if you don't have him in your life, you really need to change that and think about that and change it, because it is, you have no idea what it's like having him in your life all the time, knowing he's there. And it isn't picture perfect. We're not here to not struggle. We are here to struggle. We are here to learn. And to learn means to struggle, because we don't learn anything when things are going good. Human beings really only learn when we're being tested. That is the sad truth of it. And that's just part of it. And so if we all handle each other with love when we're learning things, it was going to be a lot easier on us. But we just can't seem to grasp that. So that to me was absolutely amazing. And I'm still praying about the dream I had with him. And then there was another incident where I was in the kitchen. I had actually fallen asleep on the recliner, and I woke up coming out of my sleep, and I looked over and I saw this large figure standing beside my recliner as I was sleeping. And it was the weirdest looking thing I ever saw. I saw it very clearly. Like, it wasn't something that you think you saw something. I saw it, I felt it, and I heard it. It had almost like, I would say, it could have been about maybe 5 to 6 feet tall. And it was thin, and it had like this really long, flowy type of capish thing on that almost glittered like a bluish color. but it was straight down. It wasn't like flowing or anything. It was just straight, but you could tell it was like a garment thing, like that you'd wear, like almost something you would see in Harry Potter or something. Excuse me. The head almost looked metallic, almost looked like, it almost felt alienish to me. But aliens, to me, I think that the majority of the aliens that we're seeing here are demonic. I'm not saying there's not other living beings or humans or whatever on different planets. I don't know what all God has created, and I'm not going to sit and pretend I know that, and I'm not going to close my mind off and say I know for a fact there isn't any. I don't know that. None of us do. We all have our beliefs, but it doesn't mean we're correct in that. So I do believe that a lot of the aliens that we deal with here are demonic. And so this being was, he felt that way to me. He felt like an alienish type of being, but not the gray type of alien. It was like it was something else, or some other look. So this being had this garment on, this like robe like thing. The head was almost like, God, I wish I could explain this, but it wasn't round. It wasn't square. It was almost like oblong in a squared off way. Almost like if you would draw like a rectangle, but not quite rectangle-ish and not quite squarish, like in between a rectangle and a square, but a little more rounded. And then it, like the head had like this little rounded section, and it almost had like vents, like a couple vents through it. This is kind of what I grasped. And I think the eyes were in there, but I felt this thing vibrating. It was actually making a vibrating sound standing next to me, like this weird buzzing sound. And I think that's what woke me up. It was standing right next to me, and I woke up and I saw it. I acknowledged that I saw it. I was like, yeah, I saw you. You know, just know that I saw you. And I don't really give it much, you know, I don't want to talk to them or anything, because I don't, and I couldn't really grasp whether it was evil or good, but I'm leaning more towards the feeling I got was that it was evil, and that it was standing beside me trying to like do something to me, like affect me in some way, like either make me sick or continue to make me sick or cause some kind of something. You know, like to affect me physically is what I was grasping. Like it was actually trying to do something to me physically to put something, you know, and it's weird because I've had heart palpitations for a while now. So that's pretty odd. So anyway, I wanted to share all this crazy with you. And I know this has been pretty in depth and, you know, got into a lot of different things here. You know, a lot of talk about God and about, you know, personal stuff, and but it all kind of goes into one another. I guess, you know, now after hearing the podcast, you can understand better why I've gotten into all of this. But so that's what's been going on around this property and house. And I will try to keep you guys posted and try to write down and, you know, all the encounters I'm having with different entities and things that are going on around here. And there's always something going on. It just seems to never end. But please keep me in your prayers. And I would really appreciate it, guys. I really need it. Really pray for my sons, Cody and Andrew, and for their families. Pray for Matt. Pray for my whole family, you know, my daughters, my sons. I have two daughters and three sons, and my, you know, all the ones that are having addiction issues. I'd really appreciate it. I love all of you. I pray for all of you, for God's graces and mercies to be bestowed upon you, and for your health and, you know, financial, you know, relief and just, you know, protection. And, just keep fighting the good fight and start talking to God and giving up one sin at a time. Just try that. And I will be talking to you very soon. God bless you all. Love to you all. Be safe. Take care. And we'll be back soon. Bye-bye.